You're listening to the Untaming Podcast.
Rewild the Child.
Here is your host, Emily Giles.
Now, in terms of my own prenatal care, I'll tell you what I did, but it was only with my second pregnancy that I actually did these things every single day. Like, I would say six to seven times a week, yes, I could say I did that. Whereas I would say on average with my first pregnancy and my most recent pregnancy, it was probably more like on average 4 times a week that I would do these things. And I guess it should be noted that with my second pregnancy, I also had while it was my longest gestation, 2 weeks longer than my other two, it was by far my fastest birth, my favourite birth, because it was only 5 hours. My heaviest baby, I was also the most comfortable I've been in terms of having a pregnant body in those last couple of months. So in terms of nutrition, like, I'm not going to go deep into things like folate and iron and iodine and vitamin C and all of those sort of different vitamins. I will say, though, that following the Dr. Brewer pregnancy eating plan is hands down the best thing you can do to ensure you're meeting all your nutritional needs during pregnancy. It helps with having a healthy blood pressure, which is so important for preventing preeclampsia, gestational diabetes, placental abruptions, hemorrhaging, cholestasis,
preterm labour,
a lot of those very common complications, probably more that I've forgotten, but just following that eating plan. If you haven't heard about it, I definitely recommend you look it up, the Dr. Brewer nutritional eating plan. There's an excellent Facebook group. There's also Lily Nichols. I highly recommend her. She has a great website with a lot of meal recommendations. So basically, that's what I have to say on nutrition. That could be an entire interview on its own. I did do an interview on this.
Oh, with Amy Haas, episode 30 with Amy Haas, the Brewer eating plan. So that was my nutrition. In terms of movement, like very conscious movement in how I slept, you know, not sleeping on my back, sleeping on my sides. If I rested, I wasn't in a reclined position. Like, I wouldn't sit in a reclined position or lean back or anything like that. And doing a lot of squats, living off grid. And number ones were usually just out on the grass somewhere. So I would squat every time I went to the toilet. And as you know, in the late stages of pregnancy, that's quite frequently. Squatting when I would play with my toddler, I'd make that conscious effort to squat every time I'd bend down to play with him or squat down to play with him. As well as doing squats as an exercise too. And then doing the yoga and spinning babies exercises and Katie Bowman's restorative exercises for alignment and strength and pelvic floor and fetal positioning. And going for a daily walk, usually in bare feet, especially in that second pregnancy, we would go for a walk every evening on uneven ground in bare feet. And I had a toddler, so I would carry him quite frequently, which is great for maintaining strength and bone density. A lot of natural light and very little unnatural light, so great for those melatonin levels. Spending a lot of time naked. This was mostly just in my second pregnancy because it's the only one where it's been mostly throughout summer. The other two have been through winter. So that nakedness allowed a lot of vitamin D exposure, as well as helping to avoid infection and also for comfort. And yeah, just being in bare feet helps with alignment. And I also did Kegel exercises as well and a lot of spinning babies exercises. Like, I think if I just added up the yoga, the nutritious movement exercises, the Kegels, the spinning babies exercises, and the Swiss ball exercises, plus a daily walk, it averaged, it would be about 2 hours every day. And I definitely did that every single day in my second pregnancy. Yet, like I said, probably only 4 to 5 times a week in my first and third pregnancies. And then in every pregnancy, beginning at 20 weeks, I would monitor my blood pressure. I have a blood pressure cuff. I have a fetoscope, so I would listen to the baby's heartbeat and I'd monitor that. So I would write down each week what the heart rate was and where it was located to give me an idea of the positioning. I'd do some belly mapping for positioning, but that wasn't very effective until more into the third trimester. I would measure my fundal height, so that is from the pelvic bone to the top of the uterus. So I would measure that each week just to make sure that it was increasing on average a centimetre a week. This is great as well for, it's not just for monitoring the baby's growth, but also knowing that the amniotic fluid is at a healthy level as well. The measurements would fluctuate if there was too much or too little. And I would also, I only did this in my first and second pregnancies. I didn't do it in my most recent one. It was measuring my weight each week. I didn't measure my weight. I have no idea how much I gained this third pregnancy. And I would test my urine each week. So I had like a strip test and measured about 10 different things. But the main ones I would look for were glucose, protein, leukocytes. This is just to try and catch any sort of signs of gestational diabetes or preeclampsia, that sort of thing. And also like a urinary infection. So yes, that is my prenatal care. I'm sure I've forgotten stuff, but you get the gist of it.
If you enjoyed this episode, you can join the discussions on our Facebook and Instagram pages. To hear more, subscribe for free on the podcast app on your smartphone. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and all of your favourite podcast platforms. If you would like to offer feedback or suggest a guest, email us at untaming.podcast@gmail.com.